From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. The White House is defending spending cuts proposed by Defense Secretary Robert Gates, saying they'll free up money that could be better used for combat operations. Gates is proposing to eliminate thousands of jobs and a major portion of the Defense Department's private contractors.
Based on the data available after 1 year, I'm not satisfied with the progress made to reduce our over-reliance on contractors. Accordingly, to accelerate this process and achieve additional savings, I have directed that we reduce funding for service support contractors by 10% a year for each of the next 3 years.
Gates also wants to shut down a major military command based in Norfolk, Virginia. Some of the proposals are likely to be challenged by Congress. Federal Reserve policymakers meet in Washington today, and Steve Beckner of Market News International reports they'll be considering whether to take new steps to keep the economic recovery from sagging further.
For 20 months, the Fed has held the key federal funds rate near zero and pledges to keep it exceptionally low for an extended period. What's more, the Fed has bought $1.7 trillion in mortgage-backed and other securities to hold down long-term interest rates. Till recently, the question was when the Fed might start selling assets and raising rates. But more sluggish growth and job creation are causing fears the economy could stall and go into a Japan-style deflation. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke has said that if the recovery falters, the Fed is ready to do more, including buying more Treasury bonds. For NPR News, I'm Steve Beckner.
Voters in Colorado go to the polls for a primary election today. Kirk Siegler of member station KUNC reports incumbent Democratic Senator Michael Bennett is fighting to keep his job.
Despite Senator Bennett's endorsements from prominent state party leaders and the fundraising muscle of President Obama, polls have shown him in a tight race with challenger Andrew Romanoff. Romanoff is casting himself as a Washington outsider. His campaign coffers aren't nearly as healthy as Bennett's, but University of Denver political science professor Seth Maskett says he's played this to his advantage.
Romanoff knew he was going to be outspent from the very beginning, but he made it a point to look like that was a potential source of corruption, and that if you want a non-corrupt candidate, go for the broke guy.
Pollsters say the Republican side of the race is also too close to call. Former Lieutenant Governor Jane Norton is battling Weld County Prosecutor Ken Buck, who's won the backing of local Tea Party activists. For NPR News, I'm Kirk Siegler in Denver.
Members of the House are back in Washington today, taking a break from their summer recess for an emergency session. They'll be voting on legislation that is aimed at saving the jobs of hundreds of thousands of public school teachers, as well as state and local government workers nationwide. That measure has already passed the Senate over Republican opposition. The lawmakers may also take up a bill to increase surveillance along the U.S. border with Mexico. This is NPR News from Washington. Search crews in China, digging through debris with their bare hands, have rescued a man who was trapped for more than 2 days in an apartment leveled by a mudslide. Chinese authorities say at least 700 people are dead and hundreds more are missing. The mudslides were triggered by flooding, and floodwaters have been causing devastation in much of Asia. In Pakistan, thousands of people have been fleeing a major city after authorities warned that flooding there could leave much of the area submerged. The flooding in Pakistan has affected more than 13 million people. Japan's prime minister is apologizing to South Korea for Japanese colonial rule. NPR's Louisa Lim reports he's also promising to return some stolen historical artifacts.
This year marks the 100th anniversary of Japan's annexation of the Korean Peninsula, which started in 1910 and ended in 1945. Today, Japan's Prime Minister Naoto Kan offered deep remorse for the enormous damage and suffering caused by this colonization. He also pledged to return artifacts in the near future, including the royal records from an ancient Korean dynasty taken by Japan. This statement apologized specifically to Koreans, as opposed to earlier apologies to Japan's Asian neighbors. Civic groups representing Korean women used as sex slaves say the apology is meaningless and that compensation for suffering should be given out. Earlier, Japanese cabinet members had highlighted that any apology should not open up a fresh debate on compensation. Louisa Lim, NPR News, Beijing.
A half dozen people are dead in California's Sierra Nevada after an SUV swerved into a highway median and then collided with two other vehicles. The victims include members of California Baptist University's cross-country team. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR.